This episode is brought to you by Rocky Mountain PBS and 104.7 The Drop. Because The Drop aims to inspire people towards deeper, more meaningful connections with their community through the celebration of urban alternative music, arts, and culture. They're all about creating a unique sound that's locally rooted with global reach. From the morning mix block to new music discovery or to hear your favorite current or throwback hip-hop and urban alternative, 104.7 The Drop has something for everyone. You can listen online or via the Drop 303 app anytime, anywhere. Or if you're in the Denver area, you can catch 104.7 The Drop on air. Today on CityCast Denver. People have been moving to Colorado for our beautiful outdoors for as long as there's been a Colorado. But not everyone gets to enjoy it equally.
One of the research that I found out is that in Estes Park, the only day that black people could go into the shops until about 1954 was on Thursdays. So all surrounding Lincoln Hills were segregated towns.
About an hour's drive west of Denver, Lincoln Hills has been a respite for black people for 100 years. During its heyday, black folks from all over would come to Lincoln Hills to enjoy one of the country's few black-owned vacation destinations. And to celebrate the centennial, I'm speaking with past CityCast Denver guest host Donnie L. Betts, who produced a beautiful documentary about Lincoln Hills. We're also joined by Donnie's friend, Gary Jackson, a retired judge whose family has owned property there for generations. Today is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver.
Mr. Gary Jackson, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing fine, Donnie. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're looking good.
Well, you are too, except your beard is getting whiter and whiter.
Oh.
You're catching up with me.
Yes, I am.
Gary Jackson and Donnie L. Betts, welcome to CityCast Denver.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
I should say, Donnie, welcome back. You're an old friend of the show.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, Donnie, actually, I would love to start with you. You produced this whole documentary about Lincoln Hills, and you come at the story from sort of an outsider perspective. What made you really want to dig into the story and the history of Lincoln Hills?
You know, I've been thinking about that, what actually got me first interested in Lincoln Hills. And I had to go all the way back to when I first arrived in Denver. That was the director here, the late Diane McDaniels, who got me interested in Colorado history, and particularly black history in Colorado. So we talked about Deerfield, we talk about, you know, O.T. Jackson, we talk about the different people who were very instrumental in the founding of the state of Colorado. And in doing that, she introduced me to Lincoln Hills. And when you get introduced to Lincoln Hills, you get introduced to the different families and individuals who are part of that. So I was interested in the fact that this was a resort, you know, the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, when so many people thought that black people didn't recreate. But why not? So Lincoln Hills, to me, was always interesting because you knew about Martha's Vineyard and places like that, that black people would go and recreate. But here in Colorado, here we are once again, always breaking the mold and changing people's narrative about what they think about the state of Colorado, especially when it comes to people of color in Colorado. So that made me want to dig deeper into it.
Gary, Donnie mentioned these family connections, the families that really were at the beginnings of Lincoln Hills. Can you tell me about your great-grandfather?
Well, my great-grandfather, his name is William Pitts. His mother was an enslaved woman. His father was a slave master. This was in Missouri. He learned how to read and write. He learned the trade of carpentry, but he came to Colorado in 1919. The reason he came to Colorado in 1919 is that he had a son, Walter, who had been injured in World War I. He had been gassed. And as a result of those injuries, he was in Fitzsimmons Army Medical Hospital. And so my great-grandfather would have come to Colorado to visit him. And upon coming to Colorado, he felt that there were better opportunities for a black man and a black family than there were in the segregated South, the segregated Missouri. And he had the money to be able to buy 6 lots in North Cherry Creek, as well as buying several lots in Lincoln Hills. It was called the Lincoln Hills Country Club Development. It was actually incorporated to be the site for Black ownership of property and for Black people to come from all across the country, because at that time in the 1920s, the Colorado population for Black people was relatively small. So in order for the Lincoln Hills Country Club Development to be profitable, homes or lots, I should say lots, had to be sold to Black individuals from across the nation. And I think at the time that it was fully developed, there were about 1,100 lots that were open for sale. And so my great-grandfather, he built our family cabin. He built several other cabins for people to buy. So that's sort of a summary of my great-grandfather and how he arrived in Colorado and had the vision, which I think is really important. He had the vision to buy property in North Cherry Creek as well as Lincoln Hills, the only Black-owned recreational area west of the Mississippi.
Donnie, I'm just thinking about Lincoln Hills being, again, one of the only Black resorts in the country. What is Denver's role in this? Like, why here, beyond our access to nature, our closeness to the mountains, what would make Denver a place for Black folks to come versus, say, St. Louis or something to recreate?
Well, I think you said it. We're so close to nature. It's so beautiful here. And I think Gary said it too, is we have to make our own way out of no way, you know? So, city folks were what we were used to in a lot of cases, but a lot of Black Americans came from a rural environment, you know? You have to think about after Reconstruction, we were a landless people looking for land, you know? So they grabbed those land wherever they could, you know, whether it be in Lincoln Hills or Denver or Mount Bayou, Mississippi, Nicodemus, Kansas, and so on and so forth. And so they always had an opportunity to make something out of nothing. And I think the connection to Denver is because Denver also had its own dark history of segregation as well, too. So how can we get out of the city to have some peace? Some peace from that discrimination. Just have peace and quiet. And as Gary said, they came from not just Denver, but from Nebraska and Kansas and Missouri. And it was the place to come. It was the place to come because it was beautiful there. The air was fresh and clean. You know, you could have people that cared about you. I think that's what it was, too. People cared about you there, you know, and the families cared about each other. So I would think that's why the camp was so popular and stayed that way for many years. Yeah.
So, Gary, how did this thing get started back in the 20s? Was it like a word of mouth thing, or how did people find out about it?
At the very beginning of the development of Lincoln Hills, it took a lot of marketing with the Black churches. Mm. So like Shorter's or New Hope, those were two congregations that would come up to Lincoln Hills on a Sunday for a barbecue, would come up on holidays with their congregations to utilize the resources of Lincoln Hills.
Also, the importance of that Kansas City, Missouri railroad line that brought Black people to Denver, too, as employment. You brought in military and that sort of thing. But also, that brought a lot of people, too, especially to Five Points. You know, the Pullman porters and the nurses in that area were some of the founders of that area that also recreated in Lincoln Hills.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit Baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest Fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch, for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we can't talk too much about Lincoln Hills without talking about Winks Hamlet. He built the big destination lodge that became known as Winks Lodge and was a major booster for Lincoln Hills. Donnie, what do you make of the man at the center of the Lincoln Hills story?
He was just this, I would say, this super entrepreneur. And Denver had a real history of Black entrepreneurs at that time. You had, the Barney Fords. And Winks followed in that mold. The opportunity to now have property, I think that we have to keep emphasizing that, the having something up of your own and then able to share that with people. Sure, you can make money and everything off of it too, but I think Winks really wanted to have people enjoy themselves and love that area as much as he did. I mean, that's what I've gathered from my research.
Well, let me tell you about Winks in terms of what I thought was important other than being a super entrepreneur. He was a leader. And when I say he was a leader, he became a leader in the Gilpin County community. He would work part-time at the post office. He would be a ranger for the Forest Service. So, Lincoln Hills was kind of isolated, the sheriff of Gilpin County, if there was a problem or a disturbance, didn't want to come into the Lincoln Hills area because of the vast area of Gilpin County. So he deputized Winks Hamlet to be a deputy sheriff. So if there was any problem or disturbance in Lincoln Hills, Winks Hamlet could take care of that. And so his connection with the government was widespread. And when I say that, on his property, there was a two-seater outhouse and there was a brick barbecue. Both of those were WPA projects. In other words, if you're familiar with the WPA, that was a federal government supported work project right after World War I, where Winks, because of his connection with the governmental service, was able to get that two-seater outhouse built on his property, as well as the barbecue pit the brick barbecue pit that was built on his property. So, to me, that demonstrates his leadership and his ability to his people skills.
Well, and the WPA connection is interesting to me because the Works Progress Administration was a result of the New Deal. And when we think about the New Deal projects that it funded in Colorado, we think of bigger things like Red Rocks was one of those things. But the fact that Winks was able to direct some of that to Lincoln Hills or to, you know what I mean? Like, that does speak incredibly to his connections in the world and his ability to navigate these social situations that involved politics. So that just gives me a whole different picture of this. That's incredible.
Well, another picture that you need to think about also is the visitors that would come to Winks Lodge. You know, Donnie has talked about the poets and the writers, but there were people also like Whitney Young. Let's say that he was going to go to Aspen for some type of think tank. And Whitney Young was the National Urban League director, the father of Lauren Castile that you guys were talking about earlier. But he would stop off in Winks Lodge. Pam Grier, the actress, her mother used to come up to Winks Lodge and enjoy the activities that were going on in Winks Tavern, because it was Winks Tavern where there was the music, there was the dance floor, there was the slot machine, there was the ice cream parlor. So that was Winks Tavern that was connected with Winks Lodge.
Gary, you're kind of describing a little bit of it now, but I would love for you to share some of your experiences at Lincoln Hills as a kid. What do you remember most? What did you love to do or see there?
Well, my first memory of going to Lincoln Hills and our cabin, as I had to have been 4 or 5 years of age. But we have a photograph of my brother and I playing on a big rock about 10 yards east of the cabin. We are skipping rocks in the South Boulder Creek. We are wading in the ponds that are just to the west of South Boulder Creek. I can remember as a teenager getting a Daisy BB gun and having that BB gun and target practicing and shooting that gun at chipmunks and birds that should have been aware that there was a teenager out there with a BB gun. But I can think of so many experiences throughout my life that I would go to our cabin with friends, whether they were teenage friends or whether they were college friends or law school friends. And then one of the things I will always remember is 2008 when we had the Democratic National Convention. And there were delegates from across the nation that were coming here to nominate Obama for president, to run for the as a Democrat for president. We had a barbecue gathering up at our cabin where there may have been 50 delegates from across the nation, an opportunity to learn directly and have the peace and the calm and the ability to enjoy the Colorado wilderness at my cabin. So these type of experiences for me went from the ages of 4 or 5 up to the present time.
Not many of us have that, you know what I mean? Access to this place in the same spot that our family, you know, it has roots in itself, and the fact that you could bring other people there. And
well, to me, it's a part of the American dream.
Yeah. And the Colorado dream, thinking about your great grandfather, like it's like what everybody thinks. You want a house in the city and a house in the mountains. He did that.
Absolutely.
100 years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, the American dream is the American dream. It's not just the dream of white people. It's the dream of black people also to have our own property, to be able to create our own wealth, to be able to create a space where we feel safe and comfortable, to be able to have something that you can create a legacy for your own grandchildren. So one of the things that Donnie will know is that whenever I'm at the cabin, the very first thing that we would do is we would put the American flag out on the deck. That would let people know that we were there at the cabin, and if you wanted to come visit, come by and visit, because the flag would be flying.
Donnie, what is the Lincoln Hills of today like?
It's different. It still has some of that spirit, you know, since many of the people like Gary and his family still own the cabins there. But, you know, there's also, you know, the big development of a fly fishing lodge. The new owners are trying to carry on some of that tradition by working with young people. They're working with wounded veterans and that sort of thing. They're giving them opportunity to go to the outside. They're giving young people a chance to be in the outside as well, too, with horseback riding and fishing and just anything recreate. It's called Lincoln Hills Cares is their foundation. And I think they're trying to carry some of that spirit on. I mean, they have a new big lodge there and everything, but Winks Lodge is still there, still operating. There's some things done there this summer by History Colorado. Try to have some of the owners come in and tell the stories that Gary's telling now and record those, that sort of thing, which I think is great. So the story lives on. I mean, this is not a dead story. This is a very living history that needs to keep being told over and over and over again.
Well, very quickly, this is the 100-year anniversary of the development of Lincoln Hills. And so this story is still ongoing. It's still vibrant. There are still black owners of cabins in Lincoln Hills. So I feel a great deal of gratitude that we've come a full circle in terms of what Lincoln Hills meant in 1922 and what it means in 2022. It is an oasis for black people.
Donnie L. Betts and Gary Jackson, thank you so much. This was so enlightening and wonderful. I appreciate both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. And every time I listen to Gary, I always come back with some fat between my ears because he's giving us some new knowledge.
I mentioned that Donnie Betts produced a documentary about Lincoln Hills. He'll be screening that and hosting a Q&A at History Colorado on April 15th as part of their ongoing celebration of Lincoln Hills' 100th anniversary. Then, on June 3rd, Gary Jackson will be there for a talk about his experience and research into the Lincoln Hills story. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. It's our birthday week, and we wanted to share some of the nice things that you, our listeners, have said to us, like Jackie, who says the show gives her, quote, a taste of Denver's history while also discussing important current events. When I mention things I have learned on the podcast to my husband, he often says, you're going to know more about Denver than I do, and I grew up here. If you're like Jackie and you enjoy CityCast Denver, the best birthday present you can give us is to rate the show 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, and subscribe to our wonderful morning newsletter at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye-bye. Did she just say no fries for you? Megan is harsh. I like it.